This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, welcome into the show, the North Shore Fishing Report. Glad to have you aboard this morning. Hope everybody is getting back to normal after that little scare with a hurricane or tropical storm, Barry, whatever you want to call it, last weekend. Kind of put a damper on the fishing last week, but it looks as if the things are settling down a bit. The rivers and the bayous were up here on the North Shore from the push from the storm. And, well, it was one of those storms that we look for. The fishermen, that is, you know, those strong southeast winds pushing that clean, salty water into Lake Bourne and Lake Pontchartrain, giving it an extra boost of salinity. And that it did. I took a peek at the USGS water gauge at the Wrigley's, and the salinity when the storm came through last Saturday hit 12 parts per thousand. So the storm did exactly what we're used to seeing here on the North Shore. Unfortunately, that spillway is still open, and it's slowly pushing out that salt water. Just that fast, the salinity reading at the Wrigley's is under one part per thousand. So it's a bit futile seeing that salt water come in and the fresh water push it back out, but hopefully that spillway will be closed. As of right now, the Army Corps of Engineers says they'll be shutting it July 27th, so maybe a glimmer of hope there. Hopefully we can get things back on track for the spring trout run and get things back to normal here. I'm going to check in with Captain Andy Jones later on to see what he's seeing out there in Lake Pontchartrain and get a field report from him. So stay tuned for that. Getting back to that salinity report, if you're looking to keep tabs on the salinity, there's a website that you can go to get daily updates. It's waterdata.usgs.gov, and they do a really good job of monitoring the salinity at Wrigley's, and it's updated daily, which is a real bonus. It doesn't monitor salinity all across the area like the Lake Pontchartrain Basin Foundation does. But like I said, they do update it daily, and the LPBF updates theirs once a month. So a good resource for monitoring the water here along the North Shore, Lake Bourne, Lake Catherine, Lake Pontchartrain. Salinity is very important. Now, fortunately, we've been blessed with other options here on the North Shore other than saltwater options. Typically when the saltwater fishing is off, we can switch over to freshwater fishing. We have tons of options as far as that goes. We've got Man Shack, the Chickfaw, Chifuncta, Liberty, Bayou Lacombe, Bonfuca, Pearl, just to mention a few. So those rivers are producing bass right now. We're enjoying a typical summertime bite as far as bass go. Lots of bass being caught, but early. That's the key to catching bass this month with the heat we're seeing. Fish early. Get out there before the sun starts baking everything. Actually, we have a few freshwater reports from around the area that we can knock out right now. Let's start with a report from Todd Ullman. Todd's a regular on this show and regular reporter for NFR. He made a trip to the Tangipahoa, a solo trip by himself. He launched at Lee's Landing, and he headed just past Black Bayou, and he started pitching and flipping. He says every lily pad and tree he could find. He took him 3 hours. All he had to show for it was one bass. Says the water was dirty on the Tangi, so he decided to make a change and head on over down to Bedico Creek. Found good water there. He started fishing Paraloo Canal and fished back towards the camps. Ended up catching 20 bass from 10 to 12 inches long on frogs, worms, and buzz bait. So a wide variety of baits there. It looked like they were hitting on everything. He says the color didn't seem to matter. The bite died at about 11 o'clock a.m. Yep, so that's typical right there, the bite dying down when the heat kicks in. So Todd switched it over and headed on to Bedico Creek. Got a few pan-sized bass there. All right, another report from the Chifuncta River. Peter Bertuzzi says he's been fishing the Chifuncta River, fishing the main river, doing really well using topwater frog. But He's only fishing in the morning, he says, in the late afternoon because of the heat. That's a smart move, Peter. Peter says, in particular, his last particular trip, he was throwing a frog along the shoreline and heard some explosions about 30 feet off the bank. He looked over, and sure enough, it was a bass running shad out there. So he trolled out to the middle of the river, started throwing. He says an off-brand rattle trap. It took him about 15 minutes, but he says all of a sudden his line stopped. He set the hook, and ended up with a 3.5-pound bass out in the middle of the Chifuncta. So good trip right there. Also, we have a report from that's Peter. Another report from Peter. He tried to the Abita River, and the Abita River feeds into the Chifuncta River just north of Interstate 12 there. He fished for 3 hours with a plastic black worm, red flakes, end up catching 5 bass. But beware of that Abita River right now with all that rain we've had with the storm. That river churns up quite quick. So I would advise to stay on the Chifuncta right now for clean water. Okay, we have a post on NFR. Sparked a little conversation about renaming your boat. Leo Moore of Covington, he posed this question. He says he named his boat when he bought it, and his two sons don't like the name, so he wanted to know what's everybody's opinion on that. So what do you think? I know we have a lot of superstitions out there. I heard the banana on the boat thing, but what about renaming your boat? Well, what's your thoughts on that? We're going to ask our guests this morning about that and get their opinion, maybe help Leo out as far as what he's going to do about about renaming his boat. All right, we got a jam-packed show this morning. Lots to get to. We're going to talk with tournament director for Bass Assassins Tournament, Chris Basie, get the results of his last tournament out of Bayou Lacombe. Those guys fished Lacombe, so we're going to get a report from Chris on that area. And, of course, we'll get some info on the next tournament. Also get some tips on where to find some summertime bass on the North Shore. We're going to play thumbs up, thumbs down. I'll throw out a few spots out there to see if Chris approves of it or disapproves. Maybe help you out a little bit as far as finding some bass this weekend. Also, later on, Chad Hartzog is going to join us and talk about the 19th annual Kids Fishing Tournament. That's going to be held at Lock One in Pearl River. Yes, it's the 19th annual. Wow. So that's tough to do, keep a tournament going that long. So we'll check in with Chad and get the specifics to that tournament. Also, we're gonna ask Chad a few questions about that Pearl River Navigational Canal. That can be a really, really difficult area to fish, especially in the summertime. So if you're looking for answers or just looking to try it for the first time, Chad's going to help us try. I said try to figure out that place. I tell you what, it could be a really difficult place to fish. So a lot of questions for Chad coming up later. And, of course, we'll check in with Captain Andy Jones of Wicked Charters to find out what the ever-changing water conditions in Lake Pontchartrain and then the surrounding area. First time we've seen the spillway opened at the same time as the hurricane coming through. So we'll check out and see what Captain Andy has for us, maybe how this fits into his equation. So hang tight through the break. We'll pick back up with more North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors, 105.3 HD2, or streaming live at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Be right back. All right, welcome back to the show. Up next, we're going to check in with Captain Andy Jones of Wicked Charters. Andy is one of those true blue Lake Pontchartrain fishermen, but he ventures into Lake Bourne and Lake Catherine when the going gets tough in Lake Pontchartrain. And, well, things are pretty tough, and they have to be in that lake. And so maybe you can give us some other options, Wrigley's, Lake Bourne, Lake Catherine. Andy, we're drying up here on NFR as far as saltwater reports go. Man, I've been running this site since 2012, and the lack of saltwater reports, it's an all-time low. So maybe I can get some kind of good news from you this morning. Good morning.
Hey, Keith. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Andy, always a fun ride interviewing you, but lately it seems like it's half comedy as far as these conditions we're seeing out there. I mean, we're used to the spillway being open and then closing a few weeks after and then going from there looking for a recovery. But man, this thing, is it going to be permanently open? I mean, that's what it feels like, huh?
Yeah, it's something else. It's definitely river water out there. It's fresh. No doubt about it. We were out last night, And, you know, we've been out a few times this week, running over in Catherine and Lake Bourne areas. And, and of course we were out over here looking for shark last night. We did have our first two shark, over out of Lacombe, this year, and it's taken all the way into the middle of July here. And it was not, you know, not very big, a little lackluster, but, the water is very, very fresh. And, you know, we're still on guard, but we haven't seen any redfish for quite a while over here. Still getting a few over in the Bourne shorelines.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm here in Biloxi Marsh, the place to go to escape everything. Yeah. Redfish are still there. But, you know, what people have to understand is this time right now, you know, speckled trout, we don't normally catch, you know, that many speckled trout. Maybe you could find speckled trout at the rigs close to the Biloxi Marsh and in the Biloxi Marsh. But this is not a speckled trout time right now. We're usually shutting it down, gearing up for that fall run. So, you know, maybe things can clear up for that run. Typically after that spillway shuts down, you know, the fishing does come back pretty strong. So let's keep our fingers crossed there. Now, as far as a shark's concerned, you know, I've always been told that bull sharks can take fresh water, so this shouldn't affect them too much, huh? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's definitely not, the fresh water's not an issue. Now, we didn't have a real good bait run this year. You know, typically April, May, we see them coming in, pumping over here. And last year was a little slower. They're down some, too. This year was really, I mean, we didn't, like I said, for us to be this late to catch our first one was really worrisome. You know, we haven't changed what we're doing. We typically, you know, catch them on our trips, but we just haven't seen them. Was shocked the other day, actually thrilled when we got that one. As far as trout goes, you know, we typically don't have the good runs of trout. We don't have the big schools of trout this time of year. Obviously, most of them are out of the lake, but you still get those intermittent. You would, in years past, you would find pockets of them here and there, and you get a few fish. Few trout mixed in with your redfish and your sheephead and everything else. It was, you know, they weren't stacked up, and they weren't typical like when we see our fall runs, normal fall or spring runs. But yeah, this year, zero reports on trout at all from anybody in the local areas. You know, you have to go to, like you said, Biloxi Marsh. Shell Beach is probably the closest. I haven't heard anybody at the rigs catching anything in Bourne. So yeah, kind of a drastic change. Also, Half Moon right now is not looking that great, water wise.
How soon after this, storm blew in, were you able to get out of that water?
We got out pretty quick afterward. Now the storm definitely broke up the algae blooms.
Yes.
You know, that congestion of the algae, it definitely broke that up. But the water's super. I mean, it's just so fresh, and we still have the spillway is still just pumping in. And on top of that algae bloom, you know, you and I have discussed this a little bit. We're just the other stuff that's in the Mississippi River that is such a concern that, you know, people can't see that we've pumped into the lake is really the long-term concern for me is those toxins that are just flowing in into our lake. And I don't know that we're getting good solid measurements on everything. But that is very concerning to me. And you look at our oysters are pretty much done. Blue crabs down 65%. Black drum landings are down 45%. You know, the oyster fishermen, unfortunately, have just been wiped out. And it's heartbreaking. You know, this is our way of life over here. And we're not getting a lot of good answers.
Yeah. Well, I saw a news report that Mississippi wants to be on the have some kind of presence on the board when making a decision to open the Bonnie Carey spillway, because it's affecting them now. They're forcing to shut down their beach. So, and rightfully so. You know, I believe I think they got a good point with that.
It shut down every one of their beaches. And you know, I get people's concerns, you know, with the flooding. And, of course, we flooded New Orleans this year before the storm. You know, there's got to be some good answers. But part of this thing is, too, is why the Mississippi is so polluted. And I think it's the second or third worst polluted river in the country. you know, why we need to be taking actions upstream as well as just waiting for it to come down here and then having it be our problem. Yeah, we got to figure out what's going on because, you know, we're not just talking mercury here. You know, we're talking arsenic, benzenes, all different kinds of things that are, who knows what the effects are, but I know it's not good.
Andy, I got some numbers here. Guess how much of the country is drained through the Mississippi River?
Oh, shoot. It's got to be. Is it half, three quarters?
41% of the country.
41%. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, where it runs to in its tributaries. It's just
41%. And this last 12 months has been the wettest reported by the National Weather Service. Since they've been keeping records for 124 years. So that kind of puts everything in perspective. Let's not get too down here. Maybe we get it go a few years without it being open. Well, let's get back to fishing, Andy, because we could talk about this forever. Yeah. I mean, the effect of it is so tremendous. You sent me a text yesterday with your two boys cast netting off the front of your boat?
Yeah, one of my guys, Mackie, and then my son, Hunter, we were out there trying to get some bait. We were looking for shark, and definitely we've got a decent little mullet run going on. It's not great as compared to years past, but it's not bad. We've also heard some reports of jacks in Catherine and around Lakeshore Estates. We didn't see any jacks over this way. And typically after storm, you know, if we got a good saltwater surge, we'd see that happen. We did see a few small schools, but not large numbers.
Yeah. Andy, where was that picture? I'm looking at the picture. I'm looking at the shoreline. How far east were you guys?
We were in between Kane and Goose Point at that point. It was absolutely beautiful over there. We went around to Lacombe, just flat calm last night, gorgeous sunset. And, you know, lake was beautiful as far as that goes.
Yeah. And the Garfish Rodeo coming up August 2nd through the 4th. You guys participating in that?
We are. We're a proud sponsor of that for Casey. It's a great cause. All the money goes to the Mary Bird Perkins, the Cancer Foundation, and some other great organizations. So we're proud to be a big sponsor of that. We enjoy it. It's going to be at T Rivers, I think, is weighing on Sunday at noon. Some great people involved in that. It's a lot of fun. We do sponsor several kids for that. And we're looking at getting a few more kids out there this year as well.
You fish it or y'all run lines?
We fish it. We rod and reel. Pretty much that's all we do is rod and reel. And, what I try to do is just take a few kids out every year and then let them have at it. And we have a great time. I think the biggest one we've ever weighed in was in the 63-pound range last year, which some of the big dogs coming in, 90-plus on rod and reel and pushing over 200, I think, on jug.
That's some big fish there.
Yeah.
Andy, we had a conversation on NFR about renaming your boat. Leo Moore of Covington is considering renaming his boat. Wants to know if anyone's had any experiences of bad luck after renaming a boat. What say you?
I'd say if it's in the back of his mind, don't do it.
Tapping him on the shoulder, huh?
When in doubt, if you're in doubt at all, keep that baby the same. We need all the luck we can get. I've had to overcome customers bringing bananas on the boat, and knowing that rule. And sometimes I've seen the bananas, and then I go, well, that's exactly why we're not catching them. Sometimes we've caught with them on board, and I'm going, well, we overcame that one.
Well, I would think of the charter captain, boy, that'd be a great option for somebody to bring a banana on a boat just for you to have an excuse, you know? Well, that's the reason. You're to blame for it.
Yeah, I know some guys that are like TSA when you're boarding their boat. You get on there and they're doing the search. There will be no bananas
hands
on
up,
my boat.
Hands up, walk through,
keys out, wallet out. I'm not quite that extreme, but I've had it explain some bad days before.
Well, Andy, man, I tell you what, we're almost through summer. I want to say almost through. It looks like we're about halfway through. But, you know, look, next week I've heard of a cool front. I mean, it's going to stall out on us. It's not going to do anything. But, man, that's something good to see to give you a little bit of hope with these. Everything starts shutting down at this time. I mean, people are just sick of the hot weather. It's like, we're going to just wait for the cool fronts. But, you know, one thing that I thought of the other day is the lack of pop-up afternoon showers. Do you remember? When I say remember, I mean, it's always been. It seemed like these afternoon showers would pop up almost daily. We don't see that. Have you seen that this year?
You know, that's a good observation, Keith, and I was thinking that last night. I thought that's kind of funny you bring that up because even we saw a couple last night, real small, though. Not the typical, you know, pop-up storms that we used to see. And, yeah, you know, we're in the middle of the month, so we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I agree with you on that. I haven't seen them as much as we used to.
Yeah, I mean, I used to try to race home to cut the grass because I almost knew there's a pop-up shower coming, you know. We just don't see them now. It just seems like the rain's coming through in batches, you know. 1 and 2 days of rain, and then we go for a 5-day stretch, you know. I'm like, this is something I notice. It helps with, you know, cooling everything off. When we go rainless throughout the evening, it just seems like it's 90 degrees still at 7 o'clock at night. And then, you know, you get up 4 o'clock in the morning and it's still in the 80s. It's like, you could feel that heat still in the concrete, you know?
Absolutely. You get these kind of days and you think the summer's lasting forever, you know, and it's been a week. But you're like, man, we've had 6 months of this. I'm dying. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the heat has been brutal with the heat index is way up. And it does make it seem like a long summer, but it's probably not as bad as we're thinking.
Yeah, it'll be over with. We get some cool weather in here. Won't even look back. All right, Andy, anything else I'm leaving out?
No, Keith, it's a beautiful day today. You know, we got temperatures are great. It's wonderful outside. Hopefully people are getting out a little bit. You know, be careful on the water. Pay attention. Heed the warnings in your area, but have fun, man. And, you know, go find some fish. And if somebody gets onto some trout in the lake right now, I think they're going to be world famous. So
yeah,
go give it a good shot.
Absolutely. All right, Andy, where can some folks get some information about booking a trip?
You know, the best place to go, Keith, is right on NorthshoreFishingReport.com. They can click on our banner. We're a proud sponsor on there, and along with all your other great advertisers you've got, just great people, Bayou Adventure and everyone else. They take them right to our website, and they can look us up and give us a call. We'll be glad to get them out.
Absolutely. Bayou Adventure's got the 50 crickets.
It got the 50 crickets, man. They got it going on.
All right. Andy Jones right there with Wicked Charters, catching those big fish and Lake Pontchartrain shark, huh? Lots of fun out there catching those monster fish. All right. We're going to talk a little bass fishing coming up. Freshwater fishing on the North Shore. Nothing wrong with that these days. Plenty of bass and perch being caught. So we'll check in with Chris Basie to get his opinion on where to find some bass. You're listening to the North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors, WWL 105.3 HD2. Be back right after this. Welcome back to the North Shore Fishing Report. Up next, we're going to talk a little bass fishing. You know, with the terrible fishing conditions in Lake, a lot of attention is turned to bass fishing, the rivers and bayous here on the North Shore. So Chris Basie is going to join us this morning. Chris runs the Bass Assassins Tournament here on the North Shore, and he's an avid bass fisherman in the rivers and the tributaries that run into the lake here on the North Shore. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Keith.
You fishing today or working today, Chris?
Well, I'm not working at work today, but I am at home right now working on some videos. Hopefully get out there this afternoon.
More videos. So you're working at home. Well, good deal. Good. What are you working on as far as your videos?
I'm working on a series of sonar videos that I'm going to be putting out, four different videos on sonar uses.
Yeah, a lot of questions about electronics, so looking forward to that. Well, Chris, you guys had a tournament on Bayou Lacombe. What's the bass fishing like over there? How'd that go?
It's bleak. It's pretty bad.
It's rough. Is that because of the heat, or is that typical?
I've found here in the last probably 5 or 6 years, Bayou Lacombe's gotten really tough in the middle of summer. But last year, was it Cameron had some good fish off of it. I think he caught 12 pounds one tournament in the middle of summer. And like this tournament, it's very surprising that the top three people came out of Lacombe. They caught all their fish in Lacombe. The people who ran the Bonfuca didn't do too well. So, but it's still, I guess Lacombe probably is faring a little better than Bonfuca because it is a little deeper in spots. So the water stays a little bit cooler. But let's see, we had Jared won that one with 8-5 with only 3 fish. So he had 2 really good fish. And then we had second place.
8-5, that's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, and second place was Steve Rushmeyer with 5-14, and that's a limit. So that's a limit of little ones. And then Ronald Pierre had third place with 5-14. They tied, but Steve's big fish was bigger than Ronald's big fish.
Ooh. Well, I got to guess that Rushmeyer probably with 5 fish in that little of a total had to head out over to Bonfuca, huh?
No, all 3 of them came from Bayou Lacombe.
Bayou Lacombe, okay, wow. Usually those smaller fish you see out of Bonfuca. Well, all right, Chris, you know, we were talking earlier about these pop-up afternoon thunderstorms that we usually see here in South Louisiana. Seems like this year we don't have them. Usually those showers kind of cool things off for the next day. Heat carries over if you don't have those showers. What's your thoughts on that? You seeing any afternoon showers or when you fishing?
I'm not, no. And like you said, it's not as many as we used to have. It's really putting a hurt on the water temps. It's what it's doing. I mean, we got, high 80s. I've even seen some water temps in the 90s. And it's not like cooling off the water, like you said. So the next day it starts off hot already and gets even hotter. It's made it really tough, really, really tough on these fish to handle all this heat. And even on us, because it's been getting really hot.
Yeah. Chris, I got a question for you. You guys draw locations out of a hat, right, to see where you're going fish next?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. If there was one river to fish, let's say this month, with the conditions we're seeing, what do the majority of the guys would like to see drawn out of that hat? What river by you?
Probably West Pearl.
West Pearl.
Right now, the West Pearl's at 10-foot right now with a little slight fall to it. And with this heat, that Pearl River is muddy and flowing all the time. So the water stays a lot cooler over there. I say a lot cooler, low 80s. But it's a lot better conditions over there. When it's hot like this, you want muddy water. You want flowing water. It's got more oxygen in it. And that's pretty much where everybody's going to want to go. So.
Yeah. Chris, what about bait fish? I know, that's an instinct for us to try to find bait fish. That's where the fish are, especially in these lower bayous where they come close to Lake Pontchartrain. You know anything about bait fish anywhere, or is it off with this year with the spillway, or what's going on with as far as the shad?
I know it's pretty much the same. The only change I've noticed is in Chifonka, they're not quite as many as they used to be. The balls of bait fish still really haven't moved out, but I heard you said that the guy made a report that he saw some schooling fish in the river, so possibly they've moved out now. Bayou Bonfuca, I saw a bunch of shad busting up or bass busting up on them. So I don't think they really hurt them. It's just like last year, it took a little longer for them to come out and actually get into the main channel. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, typically that those rivers are protected, and you know, the fresh water coming from the spillway is not going to get too far up there. So hopefully it doesn't impact them. I know the bait fish is important for finding fish right now. Chris, we were discussing renaming a boat. What's your thoughts on that? Is that off limits once a boat is named? Can you change it? Does it really matter?
I'm going to say superstitions go as far as each person. I mean, each person has their own different ways of going about things. I'll rename mine every time it starts acting up on me. I'd call it a whole different set of names and it's running good.
But you don't officially rename it.
No. I'm very superstitious, and, you know, if one thing is, like, in play in my boat, it's going to stay in there the entire time I own it just because it's good luck. So
yeah,
if it's in the back of his hair, like Andy said, if it's in the back of his head, don't do it. If there's something that goes wrong, you're going to kick yourself in the butt the whole time.
All right, Chris, let's give the listeners a little help as far as trying to find some bass this morning, this weekend. We're going to play thumbs up, thumbs down, and you know the routine. I name a specific location. You give it a thumbs up or thumbs down and explain why that specific place may or may not be good for fishing today. You ready, Chris?
I'm ready.
All right, launch at Bayou Liberty Marina. Head up Bayou Bonsakai and fish the mouth of Bayou Malame.
I'm going to give that a thumbs up. Last time I fished it, there was a lot of fish there, but they were all small, but they were fun to catch. I'm talking they're all 11-inch fish, but they're fun to catch. They're busting up on shad. You can throw flukes, chug bugs, maybe a frog in the grass around there, but that's a definite thumbs up.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Chris, Michael Blanchard has a question on the website. Which would you recommend, Bayou Bonsakai or Bayou Liberty? I told him Bayou Bonsakai just because I'm more comfortable with that area, especially in the summer with what you just said, those bass exploding on the surface chasing shad. What say you?
Yeah, well, I'm like you. I'm more comfortable with Bonsakai. I feel like I need to learn Liberty more because it does have a little deeper water to it, and I think that it has potential, but I personally am more comfortable with Bonsakai.
All right, Chris, let's see another one. Launch at Madisonville Bridge and head towards the lake. Fish the shoreline of the main river, you know, right around that entrance to the marina right there by Nunmaker and an entrance to the rice fields, both the low bridge and the high bridge, and those causeway remains, that whole stretch right there. What do you think about that?
I'm going to give that a thumbs down for right now because all the influx after the storm surge and the change, you know, over the last 2 weeks, a lot of things have changed there. So the fish are a little skittish. And I'm going to give that a thumbs down.
Yeah. And another thing to think about in that stretch is virtually weekends are off limits. I mean, from Friday afternoon to Sunday with all the sporters, the jet skis and the skiers. So that really makes that area tough to fish.
You have to fish.
All right, Chris. What's up for Bass Assassins? Where y'all fishing next?
Our next one is going to be on the West Pearl on the 27th. It was originally supposed to be for tomorrow, but with the kids' tournament, I didn't want to interfere with that, so I moved it to next Saturday.
Oh, good deal. And that leads me into my next question. Chad Hartsaw is coming up to talk about his kids' tournament, Liars and Lunkers. Going to get some tips from him for fishing Lock 1. You got any fish? Any questions for him for fishing Lock 1?
Yeah, what's his best spot?
What's his best spot? Wow. Right for the jugular, huh? Typical tournament.
Yeah.
Fisherman.
You're going to be talking to you anyway. Might as well get a good question.
All right, Chris. Well, thanks for coming on this morning, man. Good luck in your next tournament fishing on that West Pearl.
Thank you, Keith.
All right, Chris Basie right there, talking a little bass fishing. A lot of bass reports coming in these days, some tough fishing and some good reports. Like Chris said, find that running water, find that muddy water, so, and you should be all right. Okay, we're going to be joined by Mr. Chad Hartsaw. Chad operates the Liars and Lunkers Bass Fishing Tournament at Lock 1 He's over there in the Pearl River. I believe he also runs a Thursday evening tournament for Liars and Lunkers, if I'm not mistaken. He's got a kids fishing tournament that he wants to tell us about. So stick around, and we're going to check in with Chad and get some also some bass fishing tips from him as well. You're listening to the North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors. Welcome back to the North Shore Fishing Report on More Outdoors. You know, it's one of those places it could be tough to fish. Loch One, I'm talking about. It's a popular bass fishing destination here on the North Shore. A lot of fishing clubs hold their tournaments there, and it often yields mixed results. It's not a place to catch a ton of bass, but it does produce some big bass. Last year, we saw an 8-pounder caught there. Morgan Schutte caught that. And this year, we saw a 9-pounder caught by Chad Babin. An 8-pounder just recently caught by Timmy Dickens. So Loch One does hold some big fish. Up next, we're going to check in with someone who has been fishing that area for a long time, and we're going to try to get some tips from him. He's also got a kids fishing tournament to tell us about as well. Chad Hartzog is on the phone right now. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Keith. Thanks for having me this morning.
All right. Well, how long, before we get to the tournament, how long have you been fishing this area, Chad?
Oh, I'd say at least 30 years, since I was a teenager. Born and raised around these parts, so I've know the canal very well.
Well, all right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, and that's the Pearl River Navigational Canal we're talking about for those who don't exactly know where it is. Fill us in on exactly where it is, Chad, for how to get there.
It basically runs parallel to Highway 41. It'll run from Pearl River all the way up to just south of Bogalusa. There's three locks constructed on that canal. The biggest section, the section where the majority of the tournaments are held, is in the Pearl River area. That would be between Loch 1 and 2. And the easiest way to access it would be the boat ramp there at Loch 1 and Pearl River, directly across from the Loch 1 store. That's about a 10 or 11 mile section of the canal, and I know that's where we have most of our tournaments at.
And what makes that stretch the desirable place to fish over the other locks, Chad?
Well, they have plenty to choose from. You know, in that section of the canal, on the southern end of it, there's a lot of vegetation and grass and things like that you could fish. If you go up to the northern end, there's a lot more wood structure and steeper banks, and the water's a little bit dingier up that way. So it's a little bit of everything. It's a landlocked system. So it's stable, you know, even if there's bad weather or, high water on the river, you can go on a canal and it's pretty much always the same and you know what you're going to get when you get there. And it's a little bit for everybody. If you like punching grass or flipping grass, there's plenty of grass there. If you like fishing wood or deeper water, you can go up to the northern end, and it's just it's a good spot. You know, it's a little bit of everything in that section of the canal.
Chad, if I were to ask you for the top three things, top tips to fishing Loch One, what would you say they would be in the summer now, right? Like right now?
Summertime, top three. My number one tip would be to get into the grass. And on the southern end of the canal, there's a lot of vegetation, a lot of matted up coontail, duckweed, hyacinths, lily pads, things of that nature. And it really grows thick this time of year. And forms canopies that the bass like to get under for shade and to cool off a little bit. My favorite way to target those fish would be with, 50-pound braided line and a 1-ounce tungsten sinker pegged above a 5-aught flipping hook, straight shank flipping hook with either a beaver style or a cross style bait. And you really can't go wrong with green pumpkin or black and blue. Or red and black on the canal. I mean, that's a winning ticket right there. Now, you're not going to catch as many fish punching grass like that, but you're going to catch some better fish. So for the tournament anglers out there, I know that's what they're looking for is just 4 or 5 good bites every day and not necessarily a whole bunch of fish. So that would be my recommendation there. Secondly, now this tip is more for the northern end of the canal. I would suggest getting off the bank a little bit further than you normally would. I love beating the bank just like everybody else, you know, being about 15, 20 feet off the bank and just flipping and pitching down the bank. But up there this time of year, the fish seem to be a little deeper. So you might want to position your boat, you know, twice as far from the bank as you normally would, and cast towards the bank and just fish real slowly all the way back to the boat. Once you get a few bites and you can kind of zone in on which depth the bass are holding, then you can put your boat over that depth range and make longer casts out straight out the front of the boat or quartering casts and keep your bait in the strike zone longer. And we have a lot of success using that technique. For a third, for this time of year, definitely use your electronics on your boat if you have any and find some deeper holes. You know, there are some deeper holes on the canal. The canal averages about, you know, 8 to 10 feet in the middle, but there are some holes that go down to, you know, 15, 20 feet, and target those areas with deep island crankbaits is real successful this time of year.
All right, great tips. I know that area can be awfully tough to fish, especially with the summertime heat. Also, talk a little bit about how important it is to have a little breeze, a little wind over there.
Oh, that makes a world of difference. If there's a little movement to the water, a little breeze blowing, especially if it's overcast skies, it makes a world of difference on the canal. It kind of breaks up the surface of the water, and it makes the fish a little bit more aggressive. It's a lot easier to target them whenever, you know, you can have a little wind blowing or maybe a little afternoon shower or something, just to kind of break up the surface of the water and get a little bit of movement, because there's no natural current through there. You get just a little bit of current around the seal on the southern end of that canal system, but other than that, there's not much movement at all. So definitely take advantage of any wind that you can get out there.
All right, Chad, well, let's get to this kids fishing tournament now. How long have you been running this thing?
Well, this is our 19th annual Lockland Kids Tournament. We started Liars and Lunkers about 20 years ago, and the very next year we started doing the kids tournament. And we're just so excited that it's caught on and been so successful. You know, our very first kids tournament out there, we only had about 30 kids, and we were happy to get that many. And last year we had 115. So it's very successful. You know, the community all comes out, supports it. It's just a great event for the kids. It doesn't cost them a dime. And we're just so excited to have so much support on this kids tournament.
Well, tomorrow, correct?
Yes, sir. It'll be tomorrow morning, July 21st. It's going to be at Lock 1 in Pearl River. The easiest way to find it would be look for the Lock 1 store on Highway 41. If you're coming from the north or the south, when you see the Lock 1 store directly across the street, Lock 1 Road, we'll have some signs out there on the edge of the roadway. Just come all the way back there to the back, and we'll have everything set up back there, a little registration area, and all our activities and everything will be set up back there. The kids are allowed to fish either side. They could fish on the riverside or the canal side. They could fish from a boat or from the bank, use any kind of bait they want. We have four different divisions. Basically, anything they catch will be weighing in for them. The divisions are bass, catfish, brim, and then we have a other division that will cover everything else. The final weigh-in would be at 11 a.m., so we just ask that they get there, you know, before 11, certainly. We will have some early birds that will be there way before daylight. We do have some kids that are excited every year and get there almost before we do. But they can
be the day before, huh?
Right. The kids can get there, you know, any time. They don't have to be there at any certain time. You know, we let them start fishing at daylight as soon as it's safe light. And then they could weigh their fish in throughout the morning all the way up until 11 a.m. And then after that, we'll give out all the awards and prizes and things.
Chad, what's the ages for the kids? It's 12 and under?
12 and under. 12 years old can fish and younger. And certainly for the younger ones, you know, the parents can help them. You know, we want them to have some some parents or guardians with them to kind of watch them, you know, and keep an eye on them. But from, you know, if they're big enough to hold a pole all the way up to 12 years old. and we have
actually
We have a ton of stuff to give away. You know, we're going to be giving away 40 trophies, 15 rod and reel combos, 12 fully stocked tackle boxes. We have over 200 toys we're giving away, goodie bags, space paint and Dunkin' booth, space jump. You know, we have hundreds of hot dogs, chips, drinks, and all of this is free. I mean, it's not going to cost them a dime. So we would love to have as many as we can get.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Chad, and I'm hoping everything goes well for you. 19th annual, that's hard to do, so keep up the good work, and hopefully have a good turnout. Give me the results of that tournament. We'll put those kids up on the website, maybe talk to them on the radio, okay?
Sure, we'd love to do that.
All right, take care, Chad.
All right, thanks, Keith.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the show this morning. Don't forget the 30th anniversary of Don's show, More Outdoors. It's going to be at Bayou Adventure next Saturday from 5 to 9. Come on in and see us. I'll be there. North Shore Fishing Report guys are going to be there talking, and I'm sure it's going to be a fun time. Shannon and Jeff always do a great job over there at Bayou Adventure. All right. I want to thank Andy Jones of Wicked Charters, Chris Basie with Bass Assassins, Chad Hartsock right there with the Liars and Lunkers Kids Fishing Tournament. I also want to say for more information on these bass tournaments, you could just go to the NBS page at NorthShoreFishingReport.com. And we'll pick back up every last Saturday of the month on the North Shore Fishing Report. Get those kids out to that tournament tomorrow. Lots of fun. Good luck and stay safe on the water.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.